Did they slip out? I didn't notice. But looks like they probably have gone already. Right, Bill, over to you. And thanks to Chris.
I agree with Chris. The youngsters are still here.
And the youngsters aren't that short. Or their eyesight isn't that good. Good morning, everybody. Are you comfortable? Are you ready for the long haul? Okay, if you were to sum up, no, Steve's not. No, Steve's positioned himself by the door so he can leg it when he's had enough. Short haul. Okay, how would you sum up the first part of this meeting? What would you think the word of the Lord was to us as a church?
Restoration.
Restoration? Faithfulness. Where did Steve start? Seek first his kingdom. Thank you, Steve. Okay. What do you think I'm going to speak about this morning? Yeah, hey! So, that's encouraging, isn't it? God is with us. God is saying something to us. And that word, you may say, well, that's no real surprise, because actually that's been coming up quite a lot lately to us as a church, through prayer meetings, through life group meetings and all the rest of it. So clearly, you know, the Lord wants to say something to us about seeking first his kingdom, yeah? And actually, it might be an idea to have a look at that then and see what's that all about then. It's already been mentioned, as I say, and you'll find it in Matthew chapter 6, yeah? The actual bit where Jesus says, seek first his kingdom, is verse 33. But that whole passage there is all about why we should seek first his kingdom. And basically what Jesus is saying is, don't worry about the things of your life. Don't worry about it. Your Father in heaven knows all about it, and he's quite capable, willing, and able to provide for you. So you don't need to worry about it. All you need to do is put his kingdom first. Yeah? That's basically what Jesus is saying, and that's basically the summary of what I'm going to say this morning, all right? It's quite straightforward. So Jesus says, so if that's the case, okay, we've got a Father in heaven that we've heard this morning knows you and appreciates you, and actually you are special to him, why wouldn't we put his kingdom first? What is it that is so much more important than that gets in the way? That's the interesting question, isn't it? You know, when we actually look at the truth of God's word, when we actually look at the truth of what it is God has to say to us, why do we allow these other things come in when actually they're pretty insignificant? They're pretty meaningless when you look at it. So Jesus puts it this way. He says, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again. He just covered it over again. He found this thing that was pretty amazing, covered it over. Where's Angie Dawson? Mike found some stuff, didn't he, with his metal detector. It all goes to, you know, the National Treasury people, however that all works. But this fellow found it. He didn't have to declare it. He hid it. And then he went out with joy, sold everything that he had and bought the field. Everything he had and bought the field. That's how much he valued it, that treasure. And again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away, sold everything he had, and bought it. Two common themes there. Everything is gone. Sell that lot, because I think the kingdom of heaven is of more value than that. So that was how Jesus saw it. Do we consider what we hold as a faith as a treasure? That's my first question. Is it a treasure? If it is a treasure, Is it a treasure worthy of being valued higher than all those things around us? Do we value it more than anything else in life? It's possible a trust thing, isn't it? It's possibly that we need to trust God more so that we understand the value of that treasure. It's possible that we need to just really understand that God is a faithful God, that he didn't let us down, that he is true to his word. So that you can gauge how long I've got left to speak, I've got four things that I want to speak about, all right? So any kingdom, or every kingdom, has a king, yeah? Every kingdom has subjects. Every kingdom has a territory. And every kingdom has a culture. So we're talking about the kingdom of God. So should we look at the kingdom of God in the light of, okay, who's the king? Who heads it up? Who is it? We also have subjects. Who are the subjects? Us. Every kingdom has its territory. Where's the kingdom of heaven's territory? And every kingdom has a culture. What's the culture of the kingdom of heaven? Yeah? And that might help us to think, well, actually, I've never considered the kingdom of heaven before. That sounds like a really awesome place to be. I want to commit to that. It might actually mean that, yeah, I'm in the kingdom, but maybe I've not valued it enough. Maybe I need to just remember what it is that I'm a kingdom of, a subject to, kingdom of, within which kingdom. So every kingdom has a king, otherwise it's not a kingdom, is it, by definition? That's how it works. So Bob Dylan put it this way. He said, you've got to serve somebody. Everybody's got to serve somebody. Maybe the devil, it may be the Lord, but you've got to serve somebody. Yeah? Remember that song from Bob Dylan? If we choose the Lord, we sometimes sing, he's got no rival, he's got no equal. Okay, so he's pretty much up there, isn't he? He is the King of Kings. Jeremiah put it this way, but the Lord is the true God, the living God, the eternal God. So he's true, he's living, and he's eternal. That's our King. Timothy, Paul put it this way, he who is the blessed and the only potentate or sovereign, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So he's sovereign. He's the King of Kings. King Charles reigns over the United Kingdom. Our Heavenly Father reigns over him. He's the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. I do work for many lords, but I've got a Lord that's greater. Yeah? Timothy puts it this, now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, to the only God, who alone is wise, be honor and glory. Eternal, he's invisible. We can't see him with our earthly eyes. He's the only God. You'll hear lots of different gods being spoken about, but actually he's the only God, who alone is wise. God's wisdom is way, way above our wisdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Deuteronomy puts it this way, you shall not be terrified of them, that is your enemies, for the Lord your God is a great and awesome God. So he's great and he's awesome and is among you. Isn't that a thought? So we have this awesome and great God who is among us. How amazing is that? How wonderful is that? Psalm 97, I was going to read that, but Steve went on so long this morning that I just have to pare that down. But if you read Psalm 97, Psalm 97 basically describes our Lord. Yeah? It's a psalm where it's just extolling the virtues of God, and it's telling us how righteous and how just he is. It's worth reading. Proverbs. I like to get a proverb in. A man who has a friend must himself be friendly. Not always easy, is it, to be friendly? But there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. That's our Lord. He is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Yeah? That's amazing. We've just been singing, I know you as a father and I know you as a friend. We have this awesome, truly, truly amazing God that is way, way, way above any other God. His name is higher than any other name. And yet we can call him a friend and a brother. And he's here among us this morning. He's promised that where two or three are gathered in our midst, there am I in the midst of you. You know, by his spirit, he's here. He loves us with an everlasting, unconditional love. Isn't that amazing to have a king that is absolutely all-powerful, almighty, nothing can come close. Everything that we know, that we can see and we can't see, has been created by him. Just think about that. The things we see, the things we can't see, everything is created by our king, who is a friend that sticks closer than a brother, who loves us with an everlasting love, an unconditional love. That's our king. He's all powerful, he's awesome, yet he loves us. He is a father to the fatherless. He looks after the widows, the poor, and the humble in spirit. He is a God who so loved that he gave. He gave his only son. That is awesome. He desires mercy, justice. Actually, he desires mercy and justice so much more, so much that actually mercy triumphs over judgment. So his ways are true. His ways are right. But he values mercy. And sometimes we do well to remember that, don't we? We know that there's a right way to do things and you will do it that right way. Sometimes we just need to allow a little bit of mercy to allow the love of God to filter through. Romans says, if God is for you, who on earth can be against you? Okay? So what an awesome king that we have. So it's no wonder Jesus says, don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow's got enough worries of its own. Don't worry about what you're going to wear. Don't worry about all these things, because my Father knows you need them. Just seek first his kingdom, you know? So that's our king. Any kingdom has subjects. Donna's already told us, that's us. So what does scripture say about the subjects? It says, well, actually, first of all, it says in 2 Timothy that God desires all men to be saved and all to come into the knowledge of the truth. So actually, God wants everybody, all those out there that don't know him, God desires them to be in here with us and to know him. That's how great his love is. That whilst we were still sinners, whilst we were dead in our sins, Christ died for us, that we would become part of that kingdom. James, it says, listen, my beloved brethren, has God not chosen the poor of this world to be rich in faith and heirs in the kingdom, which he has promised to those who love him? So those that are poor in this world, God has a special heart for. Isn't that lovely? Doesn't mean that the rich can't come into his kingdom, but it's difficult because their mind is elsewhere. But those who are poor, God has a special heart for. The downtrodden, as I've said, the fatherless, the widows. Ephesians says, now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. So once we've been born again, once we come into that kingdom, we belong and we have a right. So as citizens of the kingdom, we have rights. As citizens of the United Kingdom, we have rights, don't we? As citizens of God's kingdom, we have rights. And sometimes we forget that. And sometimes we walk along as though we have no power or authority, or we're just little old me with nothing there that I can do or give. That's a lie. We have the most amazing God that's downloaded an amazing power within us, and we have the right to draw on that all the time, not just when we need it, when we don't need it too. We have a right because we are part of his kingdom. Thessalonians says that you would walk worthy of God who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. So that we have to walk a particular route, a particular walk that's of his calling. In other words, we're called to be a holy people. There has to be a distinction between us and the world. Otherwise, it's worthless. We might as well be in the world's kingdom if we're not any different to the kingdom of God. Yeah? Ephesians says this in Ephesians 4, speaking the truth in love, that you may grow up in all things to him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined together, knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share. And it causes the growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. So in other words, we as the body are all joined together. There's a common unity. We have a single purpose. But it also says, by which every part does its share. We all have a role. We all have something that we can bring. We all belong together within that kingdom. And it doesn't say one part of the body is more important than the other. We all have a role which is equally important, that is there for the edifying of itself in love, for the edification of the body of Christ. We all bring something in. Yeah? We are all members of his kingdom. And in his kingdom, God doesn't have a preference for that person over this person. We are all equally special. We are all equally blessed. That again is wonderful, isn't it? You know, the hierarchy that we see in our country, forget it, you know, we are all up there. Prophets, priests, and kings in his kingdom. Isn't that amazing? Again, Peter puts it this way, similar theme. You also, living stones, are being built together in a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Christ Jesus. We are all living stones being built together. There's a unity of purpose. Yeah? We are being built together. We're joined together by the love of Christ and the blood of Christ. The cost. And then Corinthians says this, we are ambassadors for Christ. Yeah? So when we're an ambassador, what do? We represent the kingdom that we're an ambassador of. So when we're out and about, are we sufficiently different for somebody to say, I know what you are. I know you. You're a Christian. You do things differently. When you see a Frenchman, you know him by his accent. Yeah? Yes? When you see somebody dressed in their national dress, if you see an Arab, you probably know he was an Arab because of the way he dresses. When you see Russian in his traditional Russian gear, you know he's a Russian, don't you? Because of the way he dresses, because of the way he speaks, because of the way he is. Do we dress? Do we clothe ourselves with the items of the kingdom? When people see us, do they think, hang on a minute, you speak differently. There's no coarse joking. There's no foul language. There's no this. There's no that. You're different. You have a positive outlook. You think differently to us. What is it? Why? What kingdom are you from? Who are you representing? Are you an ambassador? How do you deal with those sort of things? Yeah. That then moves us on to the culture, really, doesn't it, of his kingdom. So Romans says, for the kingdom of God is not about eating and drinking, but about righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. So again, you know, there's a righteous way of doing things. We should have a peace. If we trust God, if we know that your Heavenly Father knows you need these things and he's going to provide them for you, why are we worrying? The opposite of worry is peace. There should be a peace about us, shouldn't there? People should be able to recognize that peace. There's a right meeting, and Darius is God's right way of doing things. Are we doing things God's right way? Are we righteous? Are we holy? Do we do things in a holy and a pure way? Not so holy that we're absolutely no use to those around us, but are we able to represent the kingdom of God? Corinthians says the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. Now, there's a challenge. Do we just speak, not walk the walk, if you like? The spirit of the living God is within us. So think about that one. I've already said that everything you see and everything you can't see was made by the living God. His spirit is within us. Yeah? Do we understand what that means? So I said earlier that when you're in a kingdom, you have certain rights. We have the right to call on the Spirit of God, the Spirit of the Almighty God, the Creator God. That's an immense power. But it's a loving power. It's a merciful power. It's a power that knows justice. Do we understand that? We've spoken about healing this morning. Is that a power that we can draw down from God? Is that something that we can walk in? So that's a very difficult thing to foster, isn't it, as a culture? But that's where we're looking for as a people, as individuals. You know, I want to see the power of the living God working through me. And the power of the living God, who's a loving God, wants to do good. And sometimes if we see people suffering in whatever way it might be, we have the power to relieve that suffering. That's what we're talking about. Nothing to do with us. I don't want any glory. It's God that wants the glory. But then the multitudes, and this is from Luke, but when the multitudes knew it, they followed him, and they received, and he received them and spoke to them about the kingdom of God, and he healed those who needed healing. That's our Lord. That's Jesus. That's what he did. And Jesus said, you'll do more than I've done when you receive the Holy Spirit. You know, there's little room for us to maneuver when we start looking at scriptures and we start understanding how scripture was written and what God has asked us to do. We can be lazy at times. Corinthians says this, Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. So in other words, look, there is an aspect to this that is spiritual. A spiritual kingdom where the full aspect of our makeup is recognized. Wrong can't inherit right. We have to be born again. We have to have the Spirit of God within us. And that culture needs to come through and be seen within us, that full spiritual aspect of our lives is recognized. But actually, God made us in his image, body, soul, and spirit. God wants to care for each of those aspects of our makeup. He wants to care for us spiritually. He wants to care for us physically. He wants to care for our mental well-being, our soul, our spirit, and our body. Don't get too carried away on one and not the other, because we get unbalanced. We need to have a balance there. And then also in Corinthians, it says, who has known the mind of the Lord so that he can instruct them? We have the mind of Christ. Yeah? So again, in our culture, in the way that we should be able to do things God's way because we have the mind of Christ. Our thoughts should be God's thoughts because we have the mind of Christ. We should be able to follow him. And our territory. So where's our territory? Mark says, Mark, recording the word of the Lord, says, Assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it. So this territory we can only enter if we receive it by faith. So we can only come into the territory that's part of the kingdom of God, if you like, by faith. And faith in Christ Jesus. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Yeah, that's the route. There might be many ways to lead you to Jesus, but Jesus is the way. Okay, that's it. Full stop. And then in John it says this, on the last day of the great day of the feast, Jesus stood up and cried out, saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. But he spoke this concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus had not yet been glorified. So the kingdom of God is within us, yeah? Because out of our innermost selves will flow rivers of living water. I wonder how much we allow the rivers of living water to flow. Yeah? We need to. The kingdom of heaven is within you. My Father's house has many rooms, Jesus said. If it were not so, I would have told you where I am going, and I'm going there to prepare a place for you. So the kingdom of God is within us, but actually the kingdom of God is something that we will all enjoy when we move from this earth to the next. Yeah? So there's two aspects of it, isn't it? Don't get too carried away in one and forget the other. You know, we've got two bits here. We've got the amazing presence of God Almighty with us here, and the kingdom of heaven is within you. But actually, when we pass away, that amazing hope that the Bible talks about is that we will go to be with him in glory. Yeah? Every single one who's been born again. Isn't that lovely? So his kingdom is both here and now and to come. And Jesus also said this. He said, if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. Okay, what does that mean? If I cast out demons by the power of God, the kingdom of heaven must be here. Whenever the kingdom of God is manifest on this earth, it will be challenged. It's at odds with the other kingdom. I'm sorry, that's the truth. There will always be a challenge. And we must go into that fully aware of those challenges. But I also refer you back to where we started. Our God is way above any other name. And our God knows what you need. And our God will provide what you need. Yeah? So those are the sort of four aspects of the kingdom that just occurred to me. So we should have our identity, really, if we're going to pursue the kingdom of heaven as our first and most important aspect of us, we should our identity should be one of holiness, humility, and there should be a balance and power. Yeah? That's an interesting culture, isn't it? That there's righteousness, there's justice, there's peace, there's mercy, there's holiness. In his kingdom, there are no accidents. Each and every one of you, we've already heard, each and every one of you that are part of his kingdom aren't there by accident. None of us is an accident. I just find this absolutely amazing that before God even created the world, he knew you by name. He knew your character. He knew exactly what you would be like, and he chose you. And he chose you to be a part of his kingdom. And that part of that kingdom wasn't something that, oh, well, you can be the lowest of the low, and you can just help them do all the menial tasks. No, we're all equal. We're all part of his kingdom. I think that's just remarkable. That's what Scripture tells us. That's not me making it up or dreaming up some wonderful, fanciful thing. That's what the Bible tells us. That being the case, we're there by design, we're there by right, we're there because God has chosen us. We're in his kingdom and we can expect him to provide. Yeah? His kingdom bears fruit in season and out of season. If God is for us, who on earth can be against us? Yeah? It's interesting that Peter walked on water, didn't he? We talk about Jesus walked on water. Yeah? So did Peter. When did Peter sink? He took his eyes off Jesus. Yeah? He looked and he saw the wind and he began to sink. And what happened? He cried out and immediately, no hesitation, immediately Jesus pulled him back up. Yeah? Big lessons there, aren't there? We can walk on water if we have the faith. If we have the faith in Christ Jesus, we can do things that the Lord asks us to do. Jesus, Peter said, can I come and walk? And Jesus said, yeah, come on. Get out the boat and walk. If we hear the voice of the Lord and we respond and we do it, the power of God is within us to be successful. What will prevent us is if we take our eyes off Jesus and we look at the wind and the waves and everything around us, we will sink. We will sink. When we pray, we need to pray as though we are citizens of the kingdom of God. And we need to keep our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. Because if we pray, and we're praying as though we don't really think this is going to happen and I'm not so sure about this, we'll sink. It won't happen. But God is a merciful God. He's slow to anger and swift to bless. We can recognize the fact that we're sinking. Hang on a minute. Lord, I'm sinking. Jesus. Immediately, God's hand will be there. But we need to look to him. We need to keep our eyes focused on him. When we pray, don't look at the problem. Don't focus in on the issue what it is that we're praying about. Because the answer isn't there, believe you me. That's only going to get worse because that's what's caused the problem in the first place. The answer to the problem is Jesus. So when we pray, pray because we are members of his kingdom and we have rights in his kingdom, and we pray knowing that Jesus is the solution to the issue. So we pray with our eyes fixed on him. We don't look at the problem. We don't look at the winds and the waves around us because we will sink. We look at Jesus. Jesus also said, where two or three agree, I'll answer. It will be done. We need to be in proper agreement and then we can achieve what it is we need. And actually, if you're a married couple, you should be in agreement with one another. So therefore, when you pray, you should be expecting God to answer. Little excuse for married couples, really, is there? Yeah? We belong, we will inherit. We will inherit, we have inherited. That's the two aspects of his kingdom. God has only good things for us. There's also a very worrying scripture that I see, and it says this, my people perish through lack of knowledge. So all these wonderful things that I'm speaking about, and literally I've just brushed over the surface, I haven't gone into any depth. It is incumbent on us as citizens to learn what that inheritance, what that right is that we have as citizens of his kingdom. Because there's a whole wealth of things there available to us that we don't draw down because we don't know about them. Spend time getting his word. The word of God, and it was two minds as to whether I spoke about the attributes of the word of God. Our life group, we went over the different attributes of the word of God. It's living and active. It's there. It's there at the beginning. It washes. It cleanses. If you want to know what the full thing is, ask somebody in our life group and see how much they remember from last week. Spend time. Get into his word. Understand what the rights are for those that are citizens of the kingdom of God. And I can absolutely guarantee that when you've read that and you've got to understand it, and understand it for what it is, there is no way in the world that you would consider anything other than putting his kingdom first. Seek first his kingdom, and these things will be added. Yeah? I don't understand why it is that we would consider anything else being greater, because his kingdom is an amazing kingdom. It's a loving kingdom. It's an everlasting kingdom. It's a wonderful place to be. Yeah? Not without its challenges, not without its problems, but what a God we have, eh? Praise God. Thank you.
You know, having a kingdom culture is actually quite hard. And so one of the things we do as a church is to support all of you in various ways to help you be part of that kingdom culture. So whether that be every other Sunday we meet here at St. Margaret's Hall at 10:15, and in the intervening Sundays, we have life groups that we meet in a number of different various venues. And the purpose of the life group is then in a smaller community to actually then support each other and encourage each other to help us develop that kingdom culture. But we don't stop there. We have prayer meetings, we have men's groups, we have ladies' groups. I won't go into all the details of those, but one new event that we have just launched really to help us develop that kingdom culture is a worship evening on Sunday evenings at the Mount Pleasant Centre in Bradford Avon. So it'd be great to see some of you there this evening, at 6:30 I think it is. But you know, that's all part of what we're trying to do as a church to support you to develop that kingdom culture that Bill's spoken about this morning. And so part of that kingdom culture is now sharing some time together with tea and coffee and talking about the things that we have perhaps experienced this morning. If you want prayer, if you want people to pray for you for healing or some other aspect of your life, then there'll be a few of us at the front here and we'd be more than happy to pray with you in faith, crying Jesus, just like Peter cried Jesus, for the Lord our God to step into your life. So yeah, do enjoy a time of fellowship now, and see you again soon.